just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be here. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is a huge weekend for the Broncos. You know, I was thinking about this. What was it, 2 years ago when they were 0-4? They started the year 0-4. Of course, that's part of the Vic Fangio winless September. They came out 0-4. You think, oh, season's over. This team's not going to make it. They're done. Well, they come out and they beat the Chargers and they beat the Titans. They got some momentum generated. So you thought, okay, well, maybe they're turning this thing around. Then they lost to Kansas City in primetime, 30-7. And then they lost four losses in five games. Last year, the Broncos were 0-3. And you thought, oh, here we go again. Season's over. Then they won the next three out of their next four games. So you kind of had some hope there. Then they lost consecutive games at Atlanta and Las Vegas, the start of a 2-7 slump to finish the season. For the Broncos, they're at a very crucial point in their season. They've got to be, and Broncos country, don't take this the wrong way, but it's got to be the most deceptive 3-1 team in the league right now. The Rams are 3-1. They could be Super Bowl contenders, you know? Carolina's kind of deceptive, too. I'm curious to see what they do next. Green Bay's 3-1. Makes sense. Cincinnati, I guess there's some deceptive 3-1 teams right now. But Denver's certainly one of them. They've got Pittsburgh on Sunday. Pittsburgh lost to Green Bay 27-17 last week, and they're not looking great. You know, Big Ben, he's hurt. He's almost done. I mean, I don't know how many years he has left. Is this going to be it for him? He looked rough. He was sacked twice, threw an interception. He was 26 of 40. His QBR was 43.7 against Green Bay. His rating was 78.3. Najee Harris, the rookie, I mean, there's only so much you can expect from him, but he had 15 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown. You know, the production, you know, Deontay Johnson with 9 receptions in that game, 92 yards. They have some guys that can make plays, but right now, the defense is a little suspect. Big Ben, obviously, that's, you know, you're wondering how much longer can they sustain this? Let's just say it's been rough quarterback play for him. But the fear, of course, is that Denver goes to Pittsburgh on Sunday and the Steelers get it all figured out coming up. I was texting back and forth with our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens, today. And I said, hey, you still think Teddy? Because Teddy was at practice yesterday. He didn't practice, but he was there, which Zach told us would be a big sign. If he's out there, not really doing much, but kind of stretching a little bit, that would be a good sign for today and tomorrow. We'll see. I texted him today, and he said, yes, I still feel like Teddy's going to go. Wouldn't a crazy scenario, though, be if Drew Lock comes out and he does start and he's actually really good and we have to go through this garbage again? I mean, no, we're not going to have a competition, and it is Teddy's job to lose. I don't think there's any amount of game or touchdowns or whatever that Drew Lock could do for the Broncos to say we're going to go with Drew the following week. But it's going to have reporters asking those questions. So, I mean, the Broncos, obviously, for obvious reasons, are desperate for Teddy to play on Sunday because they want to win. They need to win Sunday. They absolutely need to win that game. But if Drew comes in, smokes it, they win. Great that you won, but you're also going to start fielding these questions again, too, about Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe it is. I mean, maybe we'll find out. If Drew goes on Sunday, maybe he'll finally answer that question for me. And that's been the biggest issue in my mind with the whole quarterback competition was, what do you have in Drew? Now, Drew looked bad on Sunday, that second half. I stand by this, though. I don't think the coaching staff is doing anything to help him. If you have a quarterback 2 years ago as a rookie who plays in, what, 4 or 5 games. They win 4, was that right? Or maybe they won 3, but he was good in those games. Then you change your offensive coordinator up. Then you obviously hit COVID. You have all this weird stuff going on. I don't feel like the Broncos have ever set him up. And I know now it's, you know, why is Teddy playing so well? Well, Teddy's a veteran. Veterans typically do play. What were they making such a big deal on Monday night, or was it Sunday night with Mac Jones? Like, some of the veteran plays, like, they're making a big deal about it because not a lot of young guys make those veteran plays. He's definitely looking like he is I'm not going to say Tom Brady-esque. But that's why Tom Brady was so damn good. Because he made the plays in college. He just made the same plays in the NFL. Just has better receivers. He's going through his progressions. Drew wasn't there. He wasn't going through his progressions last year. He wasn't doing any of that stuff. He was doing stuff that a rookie did. That a typical rookie does. And so, I do expect... Teddy is great at going through his progressions. He's really good at that. Make no mistake about it. Anytime I've talked about Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of people just think I'm absolutely opposed to him. I said, this guy had his career in front of him. He was on pace to be a really good quarterback in this league. Then he gets hurt. And, he was never able to get it back right with Minnesota. And then he kind of skipped along as a backup. He had the good year with the Saints, but for most part, he's kind of been more of a backup quarterback since the injuries hit. He is a reliable guy that has been making plays. Those first three games, he was making plays left and right. But don't pretend that he was good in the first half against Baltimore. Everybody's like throwing this out that, hey, you see why now? That's why. Teddy, with a full week and a game plan and reps, looked bad. Drew Lock, with a full week of none of that, looked worse. That makes sense, doesn't it? The guy that wasn't involved in any of the real reps with the team and the starting lineup should look worse. If he looked better, then it would have been the biggest mistake Vic Fangio's ever made. Maybe fireable. Whoa, how'd you miss? This guy just saved you. Beat Baltimore. I tweeted that out. I was like, those of you that are like really ripping apart Drew Lock right now, what did you expect? He's the backup. He lost the job. He's not doing things that starting quarterbacks do. Means he's not practicing with the starting lineup. He's not getting the reps that Teddy's getting. You want Teddy to have all of the reps. And then you throw him in the second half and you expect greatness. Sometimes that works for quarterbacks. Sometimes you see a quarterback come in that they're not prepared for, and he looks good. And you're like, wow, why don't the Broncos just start that guy? And then the next week they're terrible because you have film. I still think Drew Lock has something there. Is Teddy right now the better quarterback of the two? Sure seems like it. But we're kidding ourselves when we're saying things like, hey, against Baltimore, Drew was so bad. Teddy was bad too. And he had the full week with his teammates. It also doesn't help when two of your linemen are down for either guy. That's why I picked him to lose on Sunday last week. Because you're without Dalton Reisner, you're without Graham Glasgow, you're without Jerry Jeudy, you're without KJ Hamler, you're without Bradley Chubb, you're without Josie Jewell, you're without Ronald Darby. When do you, like, I'm seriously, like, those of you that were picking him, and I saw it, like, Nine News, a lot of guys at DNVR Broncos, they were all picking Denver to win. And my question was, do injuries not matter to you guys? Like, are they just not part of the game to you? Yeah, if they would have won, Colfax, that would have been a minor miracle. Seriously. I'm not saying Baltimore's a world beater, but all those guys I just listed, every damn one of them's a starter. So I think it's funny when people just like, oh, they'll be fine. Oh, they'll be fine. Oh, next man up. They'll be fine. Next man up. There comes a point where that doesn't exist, especially when you're playing a good football team, like a decent football team. Like Baltimore, they're probably going to get better. I think their defense is going to get better. But I scratched my head. I'm like, a lot of these guys I respect. And they're like, I think the Broncos are beating Baltimore on Sunday. And here's why. Because the crowd's going to be nuts. Because it's a home game. Hey, what about their starting left and right guard? They're both out. So you have backups. You don't have any speed on your wide receiver end that can take the top off of the defense. That's what you were trying to build your team around in the offseason. You know, you got a defense that's pretty good, but yeah, you're dwindling it suddenly. You know, Josie Jewell, he was on pace to have a much better year. Noob says, not you, Brady, but it's unbelievable the hate that came back out this week towards Locke on other stations. That's why you don't listen to other stations, Noob. You stay here, man. I'm going to keep it real for you. The hate for Drew Locke is, I mean, you could kind of hear boos in the second half. The boo birds were kind of out. I understand if you watched that second half and you said, wow, this is ugly. And it was ugly. Don't forget, though, they're a Garrett Bowles hold away from Drew Locke almost completing. You know, he completed that pass. Looks like he's sacked late in the third. Maybe it was the early fourth. Looks like he's going to be sacked. He stays on his feet, rolls to his right, finds a receiver, big-time first down on, like, third and long. And they're at least in field goal range where you can get this game somewhat down to, you know, a manageable situation come fourth quarter. But it was a holding. I think that was the holding call on Garrett Bowles. I'm not taking it like Drew was sabotaged or he was good for any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. But he didn't have, again, people keep saying if you defend Drew Locke, well, you keep coming up with excuses for him. Well, sometimes there are excuses for him. And to be fair, Teddy gets those same excuses. He was bad on Sunday, but they didn't have any of their tools that they had planned on having. I know good teams have to figure out how to overcome it, but it's always tough to do. It doesn't make you a bad team if you don't overcome it. I still think the Broncos are a good team. I still think the Broncos are a 10-11 win team. 11 win team. Yes, 11. I still think so. I think they just got smoked because they had nobody. And the game plan was awful. They need to figure that game plan out big time. But what I'm saying is about four runs in the second half. You tell me, seriously, that Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio put Drew Locke in the best situation to win on Sunday. How? How do you not run the ball? You're so in, and I know you talk about the line being depleted. Well, the one score you had, Javonte Williams busted through 30 and for 30 yards and broke like eight tackles. If I see that, and I've seen it all year with Javonte Williams, that guy carries people. He's one of those running backs that you're probably going to see, if they give him enough damn carries, that you're probably going to see on NFL, Good Morning Football on NFL Network when they have their Angry Runs segment. That's one of the best segments. Kyle Brandt, it's one of the best segments in any media you'll see. But I give the guy the chance. Your line's struggling because they're hurt, but he's already proven that he's going to break like three tackles. I think they ran the ball first play of the second half with Melvin Gordon, and after that it was pass after pass after pass after pass. I think Drew got a first down, and then they chucked out three more passes. So it was a run, two passes, third one led to a first down, and then it was three passes in a row punt. I just don't understand at that stage why you're not really committing to that run. And I get with the line out, but same issue could happen as far as the line getting after Drew Locke to sack him and create something. So I don't feel like this coaching staff has done Drew Locke any favors. Pat Shurmur, just when I think maybe he's figuring things out, I completely lose faith and confidence in him. But you got to pound the rock, man. You got to run the football, whether it's Teddy in there or Drew. That is what I told you, the way this team's going to win 11, because I don't feel like Drew Locke, at this stage, I'll admit it, I don't feel like Drew or Teddy are the answer at the franchise quarterback position. It's always going to be that what-if game with Drew Locke. You're always going to go back. That's why I wanted to know. And we may yet see that. If it is Teddy on Sunday, we still might see Drew get one full week of practice leading up to a game. We still might see that. But I think this team's going to make their money by running the football, setting up that play-action pass, and playing amazing defense. They still played pretty damn good defense against Baltimore. So I expect more of the same coming up for Denver this weekend. Well, I'm on the defensive side of the ball. do want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Rev Chiropractic. Dr. Haley Harada. I talked about Dr. Tyler Terry yesterday. Haley, she is absolutely wonderful. She takes the time, sits down with you, and says, hey, what's going on? Where are you bothering? I was telling her the other day, I was like, my back's great now. I can feel a shift in my body. It's crazy. But part of that shift sometimes, you start to notice things that, you know, you're like, wow, I didn't even know that that was an issue for me. That was hurting. Well, it's because your spine's shifting and all that pain's leaving, but it's going in a different direction. And so I'm like, yeah, now my chest, I've got some stuff going on in my like upper chest. And they start using their devices and working on it. And man, like 2 weeks later, I just feel like I'm, you know, I was all twined up and tight and stuff. And suddenly, boom, I'm loose again. And it's nice because when you go and talk to them about where it is you're hurting, you slept wrong, whatever, they can help out. I've gone to those other chiropractic places where they say, here's the pain. Great. I'm going to do the exact same thing anyway. I'm going to crack your neck. I'm going to crack your back. Oh, did you hear that? Man, you were tense. I bet if I came back the next day, I'd get the same amount of cracks. But that's not how they operate. They're not popping your back. That's not what they're doing at Rev Chiropractic. 21 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Don't forget, we have our Thursday night special. It's a good game brewing tonight, I think. You got the Los Angeles Rams heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. So don't miss that. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Special Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic Spine Center of the Rockies, hey, for over 51 years now, OCR has been a specialist in the medicine of motion. They have six medical campuses and are providing care along the Front Range and been doing so for quite some time. They're also proud of their Greeley hometown orthopedic group. OCR's Greeley campus is located on 16th Street in the Greeley Medical Clinic on the third floor, fully open and ready to take care of you and your family. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Go to their website, orthohealth.com. Sometimes the hooligans just want to create chaos. You know, like they'll text something it's not even to do with the topic and they just want chaos. McLean wants chaos today. He's already starting this age-old debate that Colfax and I have every single year. The director, he's writing this, the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, on whether it's a Halloween or Christmas movie. This is a debate. This is a heated debate that ends friendships and probably ends marriages. Henry Selick is the director of this? I always thought it was Tim Burton.
Yeah, I thought it was Tim Burton.
Oh. Apparently he created it and produced it or whatever, but
it's his movie.
Henry Selick directed it and he says it's a Halloween movie. How do you feel about that, Colbs?
I don't care what the director says. I care what Tim Burton
says.
So
what does Tim Burton say?
I don't know. I hope he doesn't say Halloween movie. He's probably out there somewhere.
You kind of started to convince me. The first year you didn't. I was like, no, it's a Halloween movie. You kind of started to convince me because it is about Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, it is about Jack-O-Lantern. Is that his name?
Yep.
That's the guy, the main character?
Yep.
He is tired of Halloween and wants to do Christmas, so...
And he more or less becomes Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
Or something?
In a pretty kind of weird way.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's a pretty, like, I love that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't? But they kidnap Santa and take him to that boogeyman or whatever. That was creepy. That part always bothered me. But I always watch it. Personally, I always watch it around Halloween because they're creepy characters.
Yeah.
All trying to do Christmas. So I've always found it's Halloween. But yeah, technically, the main... story around surrounding these characters is that they want to be Christmas people.
Exactly. Welcome to my side of things. Thank you.
Santa Claus is like kidnapped, dude. It's not a Christmas movie. Well, I mean, it could still be still be morbid and bad. I mean, they have like, have you seen Claus, like the scary movie?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Christmas, scary movie. Like I'm watching that around Christmas, not Halloween.
Exactly.
I don't think. Although I don't really watch scary
movies. I'm never watching that ever, so.
Do you get into, like, the scary stuff during Halloween? Do you watch spooky movies?
No. I always, like the idea of it, and then I never...
I do, too.
I'm like, oh, that would be fun to watch right now, and then...
And then you just don't do it.
I'll go watch a comedy.
Well, they have, like, the channel that all the scary movies are on for, like, all month, and I'll be going through the channels, and I'm like, oh, Halloween's on. I'll click it. I'll watch it. And then it goes to a commercial break, and then I just find something else to watch. So it's not as... I'm with you there. I always have these grand ideas that I'm going to go to a Halloween party. I'm going to get a costume. Oh, yeah. I need this awesome Batman costume or do something cool. And then Halloween actually comes around, and I'm handing out candy for a couple of hours, and then I go play Madden.
And this year it's on a Sunday, so
yeah, so football. We'll be watching football. Oh, it's on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah,
that's stupid. We should change that. Why can't Halloween and Christmas, why can't they get the Thanksgiving treatment? Because Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday.
Always Thursday.
So why can't we give Christmas that? It's on a Friday. Why can't we just make everything on a Friday?
Why not?
I mean...
Come on,
day people. There's got to be like a group of people... You know, they're like the holiday schedulers, and they just live somewhere, like in a tower.
Well, those guys are no good because every other day is something new, too, like Waffle Day and Cheese Day. And
those are all just like Valentine's Day, like marketing gimmicks, you know?
Worse than that.
I see that. Like, I saw Sunday. My mom posted something, and she's like, Happy Sunday. And I'm like, what?
What is that?
What? I mean, I got a birthday. That's good enough for me. I mean, I don't even need that. Yeah, there's all these days, so we need to talk to them. Stop screwing around with Cheese Day and Corn Dog Day. Let's actually get the days that we care about on days that we can really celebrate them. And I'm not talking about partying. I'm just saying you want your family to come in, or you're going to go see your family and do all that stuff and do that, you know? Like, let's make it a certain day.
David
says, Jesus' birthday. You can still have it around there, can't you?
Yeah.
Because my family, we celebrate Christmas all week, dude. We're in church, back and forth, doing all that stuff. Okay, maybe that one's a little... Well, Halloween, then. Is there anybody's birthday we're screwing up there? We're messing with Frankenstein's birthday? Because that one you can move. That was created,
that's fine,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Now I feel like sinner. Stop trying to move Christmas. What's next, Easter Sunday? No, I won't.
See, that's
Easter Sunday.
Come on.
Like Valentine's Day. Even I'm not a big... There's way too much pressure on Valentine's Day. They should make that a Friday, though. So you can go out. Why is it the 14th? Like, who did this? Thanksgiving got it right. When all the turkeys got together and figured this out... That's what it was about. I should probably educate myself on why holidays are holidays. But when they got together, and they said, hey, we're going to do this thing. Let's just make it the last Thursday of every month? Is that what they said?
Third Thursday.
Third Thursday of every month? Yeah. Let's make it the third Thursday of every month. And that way, which is still weird. You should do it on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. But
Thursday's fine. Then just get that Friday off.
Yeah, it's
maybe
close enough.
That.
But on a Saturday, it's like, what a waste.
Waste of a holiday.
This is so silly. Yeah, I mean, nobody wants that. McLean says, can we make Halloween earlier in the year so we're not trick-or-treating in the first snowstorm? Oh, that was always the worst, wasn't it?
Every time.
Oh, my gosh. It doesn't snow on Christmas when we want it to snow. But we're out in Halloween, and we got our awesome costumes, that, you know, whatever. We're ready to rock and roll. But you got to wear a freaking coat over it. Wasn't that the worst?
That was terrible.
You put a coat over your costume, like walking around trick-or-treating. Hi, who are you supposed to be? Well, I was supposed to be, a Sith Lord, but my mom's making me wear this stupid coat and a hood. So this is me. I'm a Sith Lord that's cold. I had one year that was really bad. My Aunt Sharon, God rest her soul, she died a couple of years ago. Miss her. She made me, I hate mice. But she made me a mouse costume. She made it. She was awesome at that stuff. And I was cool because I'm a little kid, you know, I want to be an animal all the time. And mice, you know, Disney growing up, that was before my fear of mice really settled in. So she made this costume and it was like legit, dude. The ears, the tail, everything. I put that on. I'm like, oh, I'm a mouse. This is great. That was 19. I don't remember the year. We had a nasty 1946. We had a nasty blizzard. Just I was probably like 10. Maybe it was 97. That would make me 10. The blizzard, drifts. We couldn't even leave our house. And I lived in the country, 30 miles out of town. So the only place, my grandparents lived next door. So we trick-or-treated over there.
You burrowed your way over there?
We walked over there. And I knock-knock, and my grandma gave me a popcorn ball. And I went home and enjoyed that. I like popcorn balls.
Okay.
And then that was it. And I looked up at my mom, very sad. I said, so what's next? They're going to cancel Christmas? And my mom's like, very sad time. Very sad. McLean says, by the way, happy National Chocolate-Covered Pretzel Day, Brady. I know you've been anticipating this day all year and have your pretzel decorations up at the house. These day people are nuts, man. Noob says main character is Jack Skellington. Oh, okay.
What? Not Jack-O-Lantern.
That's not Jack-O-Lantern.
He is a Jack-O-Lantern.
That's what he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just a pumpkin with a body.
Pumpkin head.
Pumpkin head. Eastside Chris. Rock and Colfax. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Eastside Chris. Thank you. How are you? Just checking in.
Just random text. Hi. Expecting a great performance. Don't let us down. Oh, yeah, that's right. We have the Thursday night special. Sounds like the Grinch gives me shivers, is what Eastside Chris says. The Grinch?
What's the Grinch? Who's the Grinch?
Who played him? Who played the Grinch?
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey, that one? Yeah, that one's all right. I like the new one, the animated one that came out a couple years ago.
Okay. Well, the original animated one, he didn't even talk, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
He had like three lines.
He barely had a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there wasn't this crazy story.
Yeah, it was just narrated.
Yeah, it was just real quick. You know what the best Christmas decoration is? I get into Christmas and I love it, but if you're lazy, the best one I see is the Grinch wooden stand-up thing, and he's collecting.
He's already stolen everything.
He's stolen everything. He's got a big bag, but he's got like four lights he's pulling off of the roof. That's so genius.
Perfect.
Like, who came up with that? Mysterio says, Cheyenne Wells is in the sticks. That's where I am from there. It is in the sticks. I grew up even further in the sticks. So snowstorm hits. We had to drive into town to go trick-or-treating, you know? Like, that was our thing. We'd drive to town, and we'd go get with my friends or whatever, and then we'd go hang out and go trick-or-treat. It was the best. It was the best time ever. Or do you get into? You're living. You have your house now. Do you get candy?
Typically, not home on Halloween.
You're out.
Yeah,
you're doing the.
Not this time. It's Sunday. I'll be sleeping.
So you're gonna do trick or treating?
No, I'll just be with the lights off, just yelling at kids, "Get off my lawn!
Get out of here!
No pumpkin, no candy!" Get
last year, I got so lazy because I love it because we didn't get experience this in the sticks, as Mysterio says. We didn't have trick or treaters, so when my grandparents moved into town. Like at 97, and they started doing it. And I just loved it. So we get into it. This year, I got a little lazy, though, because it was cold. I just sat the bull out there and put a sign up that says, take one, and I went inside. And I'm pretty sure some kid came around, dumped the whole thing in there, and he was gone.
Thanks, bro.
But my job is just to get rid of the candy.
You don't want any leftover.
No, because you know what I'm going to do. Exactly. I'm just going to sit there and eat it all night.
Yep.
Ugh. It's crazy. Mysterio says, my wife is from Springfield, even more in the six. Yeah, we used to go to Springfield all the time for track meets and stuff. 38 minutes after the hour. Everyone's waiting for this Thursday night special. I had a rough September. It was a rough September for me. I went 1-3. I was robbed 3 weeks, obviously. But we're rebounding. We're calling an undefeated October, and it starts tonight between Seattle and Los Angeles. Let's get to it first. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah. 12 p.m. woken up at the noon. Gotta get sports, gotta hear the radio, gotta hear the whole show, gotta hear the pick, hearing everything Brady's voice is going, picking on and on Philip Lindsay rushing, gotta break 1,000 rush yards, gotta catch the ball, I see the goal, kicking from the 20s, picking from the soul, gotta make my mind up, which team should I pick? It's Thursday, gotta make a pick on Thursday. Everybody's looking forward to this Thursday night. Yeah, it's Thursday.
That's my favorite
Thursday.
One.
Gotta make a pick on Thursday.
That is definitely my favorite. Everybody's that was the hit. You know, you had a couple of great hits, and then suddenly that one was like, how do you do this? You ever see the movie Dewey Cox? You know, when he's trying to figure out his greatest hit. It's his masterpiece. You know, and then that's you. That was your masterpiece.
I like to think so.
It was so good. So clear, and it's clear what the song's about, too.
I caught a lot of heat for it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of my auto-tune was a little off, but I think overall,
I think that's a new style. Yeah. I think that's a new style of singing that people are really into now. Well, that's beautiful. You know what else is beautiful? It's Thursday Night Football. This one's huge. Los Angeles Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, battle in the NFC West. Matt Stafford with the Rams. The Rams are certainly a revived team. They lose last week, but they're damn good. I could see them being in the... I could certainly see them making it to the Super Bowl this year. I could, even over Tampa Bay. Even though I picked Tampa Bay, but the Rams might be the real deal. Seattle, on the other hand, hey, it's at home. In Seattle. Stafford. Boy, this is a tough battle back and forth. I mean, two great quarterbacks, obviously. The Seahawks are sitting at 2-2, and they're trying to figure things out, you know, and see where they sit overall in this division. You know, you got the Cardinals, and you got to catch up. Because if the Seahawks, who I think they have a reasonably easy schedule after tonight, you cannot lose pace. Because if you lose this game, Los Angeles goes up 4-1, Arizona's 4-0, they don't show a lot of signs of slowing down. You could get behind the eight ball pretty quickly. So it's a big one. But the Seahawks offense, they haven't really been rolling, man. They haven't scored more than 20 points in their last four meetings with the Rams. And so if they're just looking at the Rams side alone, and you have a defense that's not as good in the Rams as they typically are, they've definitely taken some steps back. So maybe Seattle can take advantage of that. This is a tough... I went back and forth on this one. Seattle is a 2.5-point dog in this game. I like Seattle to win.
Hold on to your butt.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are seen.
Everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be.
Who is
I think I have an alter ego.
Wilson, watch it all.
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, yeah. Cap got it.
Mr. Unlimited.
You got to be unlimited.
Wilson, to the end zone. Let's go, Russell. Let's go. Wilson gets protection, airs it out. Metcalf.
Let's go to DK all day.
He's across midfield and still going.
You know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
the bluest skies you've ever seen are in
Seattle. Mr. Unlimited.
The bluest skies you'll ever see are in Seattle, huh?
I guess so.
I thought it was like rainy there all the time and gray, you know?
But for Mr. Unlimited, they're always blue and sunny.
Well, maybe when they do have a day where it's not rainy, they're so blue because it's like, you know, wow.
They never see it.
Yeah, they never see it.
Yeah.
Mr. Unlimited. I had a hard time telling if that was Mr. Unlimited or is that with Kurt Cobain saying that, you know, doing like a motivational speech.
Kind of both.
Yeah, because I could definitely back in the day see him doing the motivational speeches.
Oh, super positive.
Yes, all the time. There you go. There you go, folks. I like the Seahawks to win this thing. Who's coming with me tonight on this Thursday night special? Dixon has a text all day. He just writes, holy blank. Have you not heard that one before? You don't play that one a lot.
No, I like to save it for, you know, special occasions.
He said, Chris, awesome. Casey Kasem would love you guys. Oh, that's great, man. That was excellent. Good work by you. It's like the holy crap. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back to The Hull Show. We're about done for the day. Wow, what a Thursday night special. Anybody going with me on that one? Mysterious says, you can go on that crazy train by yourself, man. I'm going to Seattle. It's just the way it's going to be. I went back and forth with this, Colfax. We were very close to going with the Rams tonight, but something.
Well, we seeked the counsel of the wiser elders here at the station.
We did.
They were all in on the Rams, and you know what? There was just like a sign that came through, and it was just blinking Seahawks.
It was blinking Seahawks. We went down into the KFKA dungeons, and we sought out the KFKA elders down there, and they're dark robes and
candles
and stuff. And they were like, Thursday. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, I think this is going to be the Rams tonight. I'm like, oh, okay, this seems evil down here. And then we scurried back up the stairs pretty quickly.
Went the other way.
You don't, get that kind of evil out of here, yeah. Man. I don't like that. The KFKA elders are wrong in this case. I know. But that's where we're going. We're going with Seattle. Enjoy Major League Baseball, man. The playoffs begin. We got the wild card games out of the way. We got Chicago. Houston with 2:07 in like a few minutes. And then Boston, Tampa Bay going at it at 6:07 tonight. Thursday Night Football. I mean, my goodness, you're going to have your pick of stuff. That will do it for us. Don't forget, we got Pick Central coming up at 2. The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. I love that show. Highly entertaining. And then we have the College Football Kickoff Show, a thing about all things Colorado State Rams, getting you set for Rams and Spartans this Saturday. Good night, Northern Colorado.